thank God for this time the Lord has given us to listen His word. And as Brother Albert was saying, the time is going to be very hard for, especially for youth, because a lot of things are happening. And it is not just political, but much more I see the spiritual. And everything's, you know, is a culminating, or we can say the design somehow to capture the, you know, people's mind, and, you know, and to bring them into the deceptions that has been sprayed, and the lie has been, you know, circulated around. So I want you, today my sermon is a little bit very different than I usually prepare. And I felt, because I went through many times, but I felt very strongly that I must come up with this, and to just mostly to address to our young people. And I want you to please watch this small video. Perhaps you must have come across before, but you can still, so you can see this.
Mark 11:13. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see, perhaps it would have some, it would find something on it. Some fruit, right? When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for fig. How could God look at a tree and think it had fruit, not know that it has fruit or not, and when he walks up, he sees it has no fruit? That makes sense to you guys? Doesn't, right? Don? I like you guys are honest, man. You guys are cool. UK guys are way better than the US, man. You hear that? All those US guys, these guys are at least honest about it, right? Take that, David. So.
Is there any time, have you come across before this video? No. So this guy is very much famous. And today he's circulating over internet, and very, very polemically, you know, polemically means like, you know, going into your territory and trying to prove that you are wrong. What you believe is not right. So we thought to, let me tell you something. That who is this man, and what is his message, and what is he impacting other Christians, and what do we learn from this passage, Mark chapter 11. So regarding this man, you know, his name is Uthman bin Farooq. This man, he was very young, you know, he born in a very orthodox Muslim background. And then very early age, he was taken to UK. And from there, you know, very early age, he was taken to UK. And then when he was 6 years old, and after that, you know, his parents moved to US. And there he went to the school. But, you know, he was not very religious type of. I mean, he's a very young guy, but he became very like a ringleader within his school. And as he grew up, his associations were with most of the bad, I mean, students. And in 19, he was into a lot of drugs and, you know, possessing the, you know, guns and all. And somehow one day he was caught up by police. And then he was put into prisons. And then in the prisons, he came to his senses that what is life all about. And then, you know, he somehow, you know, he repented. And he acknowledged that what he was doing is not right. And he made his mind to come back to his own God or Islamic things. And somehow he prayed, whatever. And then something was happened, intervened. Actually, he was 10 years, he was given prison because of possessing a gun. But then, you know, something happened that he was released from the prisons. And after this man, you know, he just gave his life and he dedicated that from now he will serve his own God, Allah. And this man in no time, you know, he traveled in many of the Islamic countries to learn Arabic. In no time, he learned Arabic, he learned Islamic studies, and then he's back to UK and US, California, and on the street, you know, he propagate Islam. And you have seen, you know, the confidence that he has to open your Bible and he take the portions and tell, does it make sense to you? You know, just a moment you think, this man, most of his youth life, you know, he lives in a Christian country. You know, there is no doubt that in his school, he must have come across, you know, many Christians, friends, right? He probably maybe, you know, he maybe met many Christian families. But what was lacking? What happened? That even though he met, but I believe that he must have met with either nominals or dead Christians who has nothing to share, and he was just as it is. But at the end, he fallen at the feet of Allah, where he thinks his life changed, and now he is an agent to misguide most of the Christian people. Did you see that he when he asked the young people, does it make sense to you? The young people said, no, it doesn't make sense. So, what his message is? You know, this message is to prove from this Mark chapter 11 that Jesus is not God. And the second, he is ignorant about the season of fig, right? But when Jesus is God, he must knew, right, that this is not season. And the third, then he even doesn't know that there was no fig in the tree. And the fourth, he was hungry and angry, you know, and he cursed that tree. And the fifth, therefore, he is not God. And that's what, you know, they're all attempt to prove that Jesus is not God. So why don't we just go and look to this chapter once again. Where is my portions? Yeah, can we, any one of you, can you read this Mark chapter 11 verses, the screen is already here, from 12 to 21.
The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in Lee, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. In the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.
You know, is there any times have you read any of the passages of the Bible very critically? You know, we know that we all come from a, you know, Christian background. We have read. And, you know, we just go, we say, oh, it's God's word. There is nothing to be, you know, critical about it. But is there any times have you read word very critically and it's really, you know, shaking your thinking that how it could be, you know? That how here Jesus, even he didn't know that there was no, you know, season. At the same time, there is no fig. But still he went there to find fig. And then question comes, what is wrong? Whether it was wrong with the tree or with Jesus, right? There are two things that comes. Either way, either wrong with the tree or with Jesus. And if you think that this is a bit odd and it is something very weird, then, you know, you and I are not the one to think about it. You know, the many scholars, you know, I'm talking Christian scholars, they even had they were very confused with this. And I tell you, this is one of the scholars, the William Barclay. You know, you must have heard his name. He's a very popular New Testament scholar, but he kind of liberal. You know, but most of the exegetes are very, very good if you really go through. And this man, he said, this story does not seem worthy of Jesus. There seems to be a petulance. Maybe that's, I was finding the word, and says a childish, resentful, and bad temper in it. And he refuses to accept this is the real event. Even the William Barclay, he couldn't accept this one, that this could be the Jesus. And the other scholars, he's called the New Testament scholar Thomas Walter Mason, you know. He's also very well known. And he says, it is a tale of miraculous power wasted in the service of ill temper. Can you imagine? That these are the scholars, when they read this passage, they come with this. And there was another called Bertrand Russell's. He's a philosopher who wrote a very lengthy essay called Why I Am Not a Christian. And he used this passage and this narrative as one of the reasons he did not believe. And he said, it shows Jesus as furious man, unable to control his anger, not worthy to be supposed Son of God. You know, and many, many, they stumble on such things. You know, it reminds me sometime that a servant of God, you know, they have really worked hard, right? They did great things. And after, you know, the period of time, they were just burned out. You know, or sometime, you know, they just fallen into some kind of grievous act. And everything was done. You know, all things finished. And you know, many examples are there. I don't want to name any of them. But you know, they did great things. And at the end, they ruined everything. Is it something similar here we see that our Lord, who always used his miraculous power, his divine power, you know, to heal sick, you know, to feed hunger, you know, he approached to people who were unapproachable. You know, he took long distance meeting, healing, you know, and comforting and bringing, opening door from the kingdom of God. But here, our Lord, he used his power, and when he didn't see fig in the tree, he cursed it. You know, and that really sounds very weird to many people. You know, and three, I just wanted, how is he impacting others, Christian? As you see in this video, that he's asking, does it make sense to you? And they were saying no, and he's saying, you are honest. It means that even for a moment, I don't know, for a moment or maybe, they will agree, says, yes, you know, it does not make sense. You know, we must understand, you know, there are many things in the Bible, it does not make sense. You know, it maybe sounds very different, but there are many things in the Bible, it does not make sense. You know, and that is why I say the Bible is a very unique. Bible is a very unique for some, you know, to it is like a sweeter than honey. And for some, it is like a bitter than, I can say, Kerala. You know, if they receive healing, if they receive forgiveness, for them, it is sweeter than honey. But one who rejects, who are very proud, you know, for them, this Bible becomes very bitter. And you will not believe, you know, there are people, you know, if you see, this, you know, if a critical mind, If a critical man, if he reads Bible with a very critically only to find out contradiction in the Bible, you know, he will find contradiction in each and every things. I mean, books. And you know, John, you must have heard about the Ahmad Didat, right? The man who wrote a book called 50,000 Errors in the Bible. Right? 50,000 errors in the Bible. And the rebuttal, there is one man called John Gilchrist from South Africa. And this man, he says, okay, Ahmad Didat, if this Bible, my Bible has a 1,000 pages, and if this Bible has a 50,000 errors, and this Bible has a 50,000 pages, then divided by 50,000, each page contains 50 errors. So can you show me the 50 errors in one page of the Bible? And Ahmad Didat was not able to answer. And he shut his mouth. I mean, you can't, is there 50,000 errors in one page? 50 errors. He couldn't, and then you know what happened? You know, when Ahmad Didat really died, was, I mean, he fallen sick, but one thing the Lord, you know, took, you know, he took away his voice. You know, he was unable to speak anymore. And he died very miserably and very painfully. You know, if one, you know, he want to see only sex in the Bible. You know, there are so many passages in the Bible. You know, it is full of things. Maybe sometime you can't even, you feel, read and say, how it could be, you know. So if he finds, and one guy, he can write whole research paper and even write one book also. There are so many books are there. The critics, the very untold story of the regarding the sex in the Bible. And he has more thickness books because he thinks with that mind, and God's even show me in the things. You know, if one thinks the Bible is full of weird things, oh wow, you know, there are one book is there, the weird thing in the Bible. And really, those are very mind-boggling. If you really go through those passages, it will get carried away many of the youth people. How it could be, you know? Just imagine for a moment this, you know, Ezekiel. You know, he asking to make cake of a human dung. Can you imagine? Can you? Anyone can eat? Cake made of a human dung. You know, it sounds very weird, isn't it? And those who read the Bible with that mind, they stumble. How it could be? But there is a reason behind all this. You know, then if you see this, you know, in David, when he asked, Saul asked David to give his daughter to him for marriage. And the, you know, tradition is that, you know, the boy has to get something. Like India, normally boy receive from the girl side. But the most of the eastern countries, the, you know, the boy has to give. And this was also the time of, you know, the in the Bible time. And you know what does this, the soul is asking? He's not asking horse and chariot and things and all. He asking, give me 100 Palestinians foreskin. You know the foreskin. Can you just imagine that? And this David was so excited. You know, again, he was a, you know, Javani, you know, in his youthfulness. He wanted to get married to Saul's daughter, Michal. And he not only gave 100 man's foreskin, but I don't know, somehow he took 200 man's foreskin and he's bringing in front of Saul, and he gave, and Saul was very happy with that. But there is a reason behind, you know, why such kind of things are written in the Bible. You know, and if one who does not, you know, understand, will really find difficult. You know, everything is written in a context. And sometime, you know, I just see that, you know, even though, you know, some kind of weird things of this David and many of the things, you know, Bible writes, even though he was a man after God's heart, you know, but still Bible writes about them to tell them who he was. He's not trying to hide, but also share their weaknesses. And this is what we see, the beauty of this Bible. He does not, you know, he hides things. He writes very clearly. Now, you know, so I see that now the, you know, young generations is going to be bombarded from all sides. You know, if you see today, the things are happening. You know, the churches service are saying that, you know, youths are leaving their churches. And these are the survey. You know, it is done by, and you can see that how largely they are leaving the congregations. There are many places the church are being, you know, sealed. You know, if you see that, you know, the LGBTQ, you know, all this, we used to hear only one word before, like, but today you see these alphabets is keep growing. I used to read before LGBTQ, and now when I search in Google, you say LGBTQIP2SAA and plus, you know. And I think, you know, the, if you see another one few years, this all alphabets of the, you know, the, you know, ABCD will be added. It's not that something is happening. These were already there. But now when this, you know, ideologies of minds are opening, the internet's revolutions and things are, you know, the rights, you know, these all are coming up from their holes. And they say, hey, add me also, you know. So sooner or later you will see this letter will be such a big letters, you know. So when we come to the Bible, you know, we must understand the context and also in who and how it is written. If you see, the Bible is an inspired word of God. But in the same time, you know, God also has preserved and preserved through, you know, various translations. Some translations may agree, not agree each other's, but that is the beauty. If you read all the translation, you will come to the message of the Bible. And that is the call that God not only inspired the Bible, but he also has preserved the Bible. And I want to go very, because my time is already short. And now the second thing, you know, many times in the Bible, Lord has spoken in the parables and also in allegories, you know, and the, you know, and sometimes it's a very similes, you know, the something is a very similarity, and others is an idioms and a repetition, exaggeration, and sarcasm. You know, there are times Lord, you know, call Canaanite woman dog, you know, at that sometimes it's a very, how can God say to women? It's very humility. But, you know, we have to understand in what context Lord said it. Was he really dishonoring women? No. The other thing is he called Herod fox. You know, that is called sarcasms. So if you see in the many times, even the disciples also were stumbled when Jesus, you know, spoke many of the things. But, you know, and then there are times, you know, John chapter 16 verse 29, he says, yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in figure of speech. So there are times, even though disciples were also, you know, then in the scripture, not all the scriptures, not many of the things is directly spoken to you and me. It's written to a particular time and people, but yes, we can read, is for our informations, and also sometimes it our, you know, lessons too. In Mark chapter 13, it's not writing to us. 11, sorry. It's not writing, written directly to us, but we can draw many applications. Now we come to this, you know, if you see, you know, the actually, if, when we come to the, you know, Mark chapter 11, if you see this complete passage, it is just like a sandwich, you know, and it's all are interconnected with this. I don't want to go because my time is running, but I want to tell you that, you know, if this event that took place, Jesus cursing the fig tree, you know, it is connected with top and bottom. And if you just take those portion, you will be really stumbled. So what is the connection here we see? So let me just take about this. First, we must know the temple. If you see here in the temple, because soon after that, Lord goes to the temple and he starts clearing the temple, and there was, you know, overturning all the things. You know what this temple is? So the temple was designed in a such a way that, you know, it has a many categories, right? It has a compartments, many areas. And all these, if you see this one, this and this, these were the courts of Gentile. So Gentiles were not a part of the Jews' faith. You know, but the God does not just say that, oh, only Jews are my people. But you know, Gentiles are not. But God is a God of all. That's why we read in verse 70 that my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. He was not just particular to the one group of people. And that's why Lord, when he built, you know, he was dwelling among his own people, he also has a concern about the other group of people. I have, last time I shared about the tent of tabernacle of David. And in that I have, how I explain, the Lord has much concern about the same way our Lord Jesus Christ, he was just not bothering the God message and his kingdom, his salvation is only limited to a group of people. Rather, it is to all. And that's why when God has in a time being, you know, he made this compartment that in this all Gentiles, who have seen my work, who follow me, you know, they can come in this area. But what is happening in chapter this 11? That, you know, in this time, these Jewish people, they hijacked all this area. You know, they capture all this area. And they, what they made it? The business center. You know, the Josephus, who is a Roman historian, he says that Passover week, 2,55,000 lambs were bought and sold and sacrificed in the Gentile area. So what happened? You know, the Gentile who supposed to, they were nowhere to enter into the temple of God, but God is still designed for this two area that you can come and worship me, but still these people, they made those two areas merchandise and the market center. And that is why the Lord was very angry, you know. It has not just happened. Lord, you know, when I gave this sandwich one, you've seen the Lord already gone there. And first day he saw everything. And when he, after observing everything, the next day he went back to Bethany. When he was coming, on the way he saw this tree, he cursed. And then he came to temple. And then he started cleaning. That's why I say this whole passage is interlinked. It is, and if you have no idea, you know, that such kind of things will come up. And that's why the Lord was very furious when he saw this area was fully packed with this. There was no place for, they become hindrance for the Gentiles. You know, even the Lord, you know, he said that, you know, my chosen people, you know, this is in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3, he said that, unto me thou art my servant, O Israel, and in whom I will be glorified. You know, Lord wanted to be glorified through these chosen people. But did they glorify? They did not. You know, they became more hindrance for the others. And then who glorified? But they failed to glorify God, but in Jesus, you know, our Lord, our God was glorified. That we read in John chapter 30 and 31. So one thing we must clear about this, the Lord has this in his mind. And the second thing we must know about the fig tree. You know, the fig tree in the Bible, the olive tree, fig tree and grapes and wine, you know, these all are interchangeably word used for the either nations or for the Israel. But, you know, here, and that we can read in Jeremiah chapter 11 and Hosea, and there are many passages are there where these terms are used for these people. But here, Lord, you know, he wanted to teach something, though this hypocritical fig tree in Bethany that was going to serve as an object lessons about the hypocritical temple in Jerusalem. And that is why I say, you know, anyone who is born in Middle East, in especially in those regions, they know the timing and season. We, Bangalore, we know people that when the mango season is going to become, right? When to buy. So don't you think that our Lord didn't know about it? He knew. But what he so noticed that this fig tree, he has a lot of fig, what is called leaves. But there was no bud and knobs. You know, that is a sign that if the tree is full of green, then it should have also little bud. And that shows that this tree is going to produce a big harvest. And that's why the Lord saw that he has a lot of tree. It is not seasons, but he has a lot of leaves. And when he went there, he didn't find. He already knew. That's why I said there are many times it doesn't make sense, but Lord does very purposely. And that's why even disciple wrote very clearly that there was no season. You know, Mark wrote very clearly there was no season for the fig. But this tree has a lot of tree leaves, but there was no fruits. And that is what Lord wanted to tell something. You know, it was giving a false indications that I am greening, everything is well. But there was if leaves is there and no birds, no these knobs, then means this tree is not going to produce fruit, and it is a false indications. And that's why, you know, Lord cursed and disciple wrote it. And the very next day, you know, when they were going, they noticed that this tree was withered, you know. So even if you see, you know, Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 13 is a kind of prophecy was also fulfilled. It says, and I will take away their harvest, declares the Lord. There will no grapes on the vine, and there will no figs on the tree, and their leaves will wither. What I have given them will be taken away. You know, what I have taken, they will be taken away. You know, and even in that also, you know, one can say, are they, you know, he was just a human. He's not a son of God. He's not a God. But even if you see that Jesus cursed, and you know, in Matthew say immediately, but you know, more or less is the same, that within 24 hours this tree was withered. A human cannot do this, right? You can't curse and the tree is withered. But he was divine, even in that, you know, when he cursed that withered, and that was indicating about the Israel. You know, the Lord was not happy. They were doing a lot of things. You know, so what do we learn from it? You know, Jews were very proud of this, that the salvation is exclusively to them because they follow the law and observe the traditions. You know, they think that just being part of the Israelite people make them worthy than others. And they focus simply on their own worship, instead of focusing on reaching others. You know, they were doing all religious stuffs for God, but their hearts was far from the God whom they worship. And they were just like this fig tree. You know, though it has a leafy, but no fruits in them. You know, so we have to keep asking ourselves the same questions. What type of fig tree we are? Have you become so focused on ourselves, on our traditions and pattern, that we have forgotten who we are called to? Or does it matter? It doesn't matter which background we come, when we saved, but is my life is a fruit-bearing life? And how we, you know, have we set aside the Great Commission's goal just by, you know, giving money? Because this church, you know, supports many evangelists. But that is a very good part. And we think that, yes, we are contributing in that. But have we set aside this goal, Great Commission, to only for the particular evangelist? Or we can just be inside this four wall? And are we stuck in our, in your four wall of the church office and computer screen? you know, very well-known minister is called Martin Lloyd. This is my final. Martin Lloyd-Jones. You know, he said, every institutions tend to become its opposite. And that's very true. You tell any institutions, you know, they are no more any carry the same principle or values that is started. Because it's a human tendency. You know, this all will become a one time, it's just a tradition, rituals. You know, we can come and do other things. But, you know, are we very, like Brother, you know, Rohin was mourning, you know, he stood up and he was some way or another, he was acknowledged. Something is not. So, you know, that should be sensitivity, should be there. Let me finish with this. And God, you know, does not want you or me to be like dead fig tree, but the fruit bearing Christian. He wants you to come out from this churchianity and four wall and go beyond. He wants us to come out from the religiosity to spirituality so that we may be sensitive to the whispers of the Holy Spirit and act and move by Him. And if we are very sensitive to the Spirit, we know then there are many like Uthman bin Farooq are lost and searching the truth. They need God's Spirit-filled man of God to tell there is a Savior. May God bless us with this thought.